And the scripture today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 15, 36 to 41.
La escritura de hoy viene del libro de Hechos, capítulo 15, versículos 36 al 41.
And I will read first in Spanish, and then we will read the scripture in English. And it's going to be right behind us as well. So you can follow along with God's word by following along with the projector or hearing God's word read aloud or with your own Bibles. I'll read in Spanish first. Voy a leer en español primero. Hechos capítulo 15, versículos 39 al 41. Entre Pablo y Barnabé se produjo entre ellos un conflicto tan serio que acabaron por separarse. Bernabé se llevó a Marcos y se embarcó rumbo a Chipre, mientras que Pablo escogió a Silas después de que los hermanos lo encomendaron a la gracia del Señor. Pablo partió y viajó por Siria y Cilicia, consolidando a las iglesias.
Acts 15, 36 through 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Es la palabra de Dios. Let's pray together. Oh God, we come before you this morning, just as we are, seeking you, Lord, even in our vulnerability, even in our brokenness. Señor, te buscamos mientras estamos aquebrantados. And Lord, we just pray that this morning you would do what you do best. Would you shine light in our lives? Danos tu luz, Señor, esta mañana. Would your word, Lord, be able to speak to us in a way that is clear and in a way that is direct. Lord, would you cause your light to shine even brighter so that we would shine even brighter for your glory this morning. God, speak to us. Háblanos, Dios Santo, esta mañana. Make us new. Make us more like you. We pray this, Lord, in the beautiful name of Christ. Amen. You know, when I was in a seminary, which is graduate school for preachers and pastors, I'll tell you, I took a lot of interesting classes. I took New Testament, Old Testament, Greek, Hebrew, History of Christianity, theology. All of those were fantastic classes. But I have to tell you that the most practical class that I took while I was in seminary, learning to be a pastor, was actually a class called Leading Through Conflict. Leading through conflict and disagreement. It's something that I've been able to apply many times as a pastor, even as I was a younger assistant pastor, and even as a lead pastor. It's come up over and over again. Just a few years ago, I remember a pastor friend of mine who actually ministered at a very large church called me in panic. And he just said, "Carlos, I need your help. Would you please come and talk to my leaders? Talk to them about conflict and how to shepherd and walk through disagreement together. Right now," he told me, "my friends, my leadership is divided. They're divided around the future of the church. Please come and share something with them to be able to encourage them to move forward." And he asked me, "Carlos, would you do it?" And I thought about it and said, "Sure, why not?" And I wasn't exactly sure why he asked me, but the fact is that he did. You know, at the time, this was several years ago, I think I had just turned 30. I didn't have that much experience. But he asked me to come and share something to this group. And I'll never forget what it looked like when I got in there. When I got into that space, into that room, it was very clear that the room was divided. I was able to tell who was on which side. I got in the room was literally divided. It was clear who was on which side because each side was huddling up together in their own group. And I looked at that room, I looked at the divided room and opened up my talk by saying this. I said, let's be clear about this. Right now, nobody has to be here. But by the grace of God, we get to be here together. We get to lead and shepherd people in the difficult and joyful times in their lives. We walk together in the joys, and we walk together in the conflict. Now, what I'd like to share with us this morning is really part three in this series that we're looking at. This series that we're calling Local Missionaries. Local missionaries is what it means to seek and serve the Lord right where we are, to carry on the mission of Jesus, to engage in everyday mission. As local missionaries, this applies to all of us, whether we're taking our first steps in faith or our next steps in mission. This applies because as local missionaries, we realize that we can encounter God here and now, that we're not afraid of tomorrow or regretful of yesterday, but we know that God meets us today, here and now, and that by the grace of God, we're able to go deeper and go wider in our relationship with God and with each other. And we can do that in our homes. We can do that in our workplace. We can do that in our family life. We can do that in the ordinary. God uses ordinary circumstances to do extraordinary things. God meets us there, and He takes us where we need to be. Local missionaries are people like you and me, experiencing God here and now, serving God where we are. We realize and understand that mission does not only mean going across the ocean, but mission also means going across the street to bless those that are around us. Last week, we talked about responding to rejection by letting go and letting God. This week, we will be talking about how God calls us to deal with conflict and disagreement.
Hoy vamos a hablar de cómo Dios nos llama a responder al conflicto y al desacuerdo.
In this passage that we just read, we saw something unique. Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. In fact, this passage even tells us that they had a sharp disagreement. That means that it was a piercing conflict. It was a piercing disagreement that hurt both of them. But yet, somehow, God was able to use it for the good. The passage that was read, it even concludes and says that Paul went on from that piercing conflict and Paul went on strengthening the churches. As local missionaries, blessing those around us, we walk through conflict. Let's be clear about this. As God's people, we walk through conflict. We don't run away from conflict and disagreement, and also we don't run toward conflict and disagreement. We're not drama kings and drama queens that just love the drama and stirring things up. We don't run toward it, we don't run away from it, but as God's people, we walk through it together. And remember, this is Paul and Barnabas that we're talking about here. Two partners in the gospel. Two people that have gone through near-death experiences. Two people that have gone through highs and lows in life, and yet they had a sharp disagreement. God guides us in conflict and disagreement. Dios nos guía en los desacuerdos y en el conflicto. We just read a passage that talks about this intense conflict between Paul and Barnabas. Remember, this year, as a church, we are going deep and wide together. Yes, we're going deep. Last week, we talked about how we handle and respond to rejection. And I know that that struck a chord for some of us. It spoke to me and to others that I spoke to afterwards as well. And this week, we're talking about how together as a community, how we as God's people walk through conflict and disagreement. Not away, not toward, but we walk through it together. Some of you may be thinking, really, Pastor Carlos? We're really coming to church and you're talking to us about rejection and about conflict? Come on, we just want to feel good. Well, there's two reasons for that. One is, as your pastor, God has called me here for a couple of reasons, but as your pastor, I don't want you to just feel good. I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to mature and flourish. Christ invites us into an abundant life. An abundant life is a complete life. A complete life that is full of joy, pain, sunshine, and rain. Hey, isn't that a song? It's a song from the 80s, right? We just went back to the 80s right now. I love it. Old school rap. Rob Bass. Love it. Jesus invites us into a complete and abundant life. It's a whole life with no quick fixes and no magic pill. But as we follow Jesus, we carry our crosses. Christ leads us into a new life so that we would grow spiritually, we would become mature, and that we would flourish together as a community. Dios nos llama a florecer juntos como una comunidad. So that's the first reason we go into these hard topics together. And the second reason is because the Bible goes there. The Bible is God's book about Jesus, the story of God and people. And part of life's journey is experiencing conflict and disagreement.
Parte de la vida es encontrar conflicto y desacuerdo.
Part of this abundant life will include disagreements with people and with circumstances. Sometimes it's going to include conflict and disagreement with those that we love, with those that we're close to. Paul and Barnabas were as close as two people can be, as two partners in mission could be, and yet they disagreed on something important. Engaging conflict and disagreement requires courage. Passivity, on the other hand, is something else. Passivity is pretending like it doesn't exist. Passivity actually leads to conflict avoidance, and conflict avoidance can lead to slander and gossip and bitterness. Yes, even the Christian kind of gossip. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, you know what? I need you to pray for so-and-so because this, and that. Here's the laundry list of everything they're going through. We don't do that here at Imago Church. If anyone comes up to you that way, you tell them, please go speak to that person. Go Matthew 18 this. Go speak to that person directly. Or talk to Pastor Carlos, talk to one of our leaders, and we'll walk through with them on this together. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker versus a peacekeeper. The book of James tells us, blessed are all the peacemakers. A peacemaker is someone that is willing to walk through conflict in order to arrive at an everlasting peace. A peacekeeper is someone who just pretends it doesn't exist and just ignores it and walks around it. But God calls us to be peacemakers. And as we see this passage that we read today, and we can see many, many examples in the scriptures, the Bible is filled with examples of conflict.
En la Biblia hay varios ejemplos de conflictos humanos.
Jesus says it very well, right? Wherever two or three are gathered, There I am. But then we learn another truth as we read the scriptures, that wherever two or three are gathered, there is conflict and disagreement. Now let's be clear about this. Conflict and disagreement is not necessarily a bad thing. It's going to happen because we're broken people and we come together by the grace of God. There will be occasions when we step on each other's toes. There may be occasions where I step on your toes or you step on my toes, but we come together by the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of God. We're called to walk through the conflict together so that as we walk through it, it can lead us to a deeper connection and to experience hope through relationships, as is said here at Imago Church.
Cuando pasamos por el conflicto juntos como una comunidad, llegamos a esperanza por medio de relaciones restauradas.
Now, our call is not to run away from conflict or to run toward conflict, but our call is finding Jesus amidst the conflict.
Podemos encontrar a Jesucristo en el desacuerdo.
The gospel, remember, friends, is God responding to and facing up to and dealing with conflict. There was a conflict. Sin is a disagreement with God. Through the cross, Jesus comes to walk through that conflict, to resolve that conflict. Conflict and disagreement, we see in the scriptures, we see the example of the cross, that when we're dealing with broken people, gathered by the grace of God, there will be conflict and disagreement, and that means that there doesn't always have to be winners and losers. Especially when it's godly people who love the Lord, who love the scriptures, disagreeing on something that may be a secondary topic. There doesn't always have to be winners and losers. We see this example, actually, in the scriptures, in Joshua chapter 5. We talked a little bit about this last week, but Moses was the leader of the Israelites, and then he passed on that leadership to Joshua. And Joshua was the one that led the Israelites into the Promised Land. And there's this fascinating disagreement between Joshua and the angel of the Lord in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua confronts the angel of the Lord, and he asks him, "Whose side are you on? Are you on my side or are you on the side of my enemies?" You can follow along. It'll be right behind us in Joshua chapter 5, starting at verse 13. It says this: "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or are you for our enemies?'" Check out this response. "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Wow. What if the next time that we're caught up in a conflict and disagreement, instead of going through the trial in our heads and winning each time, maybe I'm the only one that does that. The whole courtroom drama, I have all the evidence, I play judge, jury, executioner, and we win every single time. Instead of going through the courtroom drama, what if we do as Joshua? What if we fall face down to the ground in reverence and we ask God, "What message does my Lord have for his servant today? What are you teaching me in this conflict, in this disagreement, in this tension, in this awkwardness? What are you teaching me?" What did the Lord say to Joshua? We'll see in verse 15. The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. What? Joshua is going through battles, Not just emotional battles, not just challenging battles, but real military battles. We have some veterans here. They know exactly what Joshua was going through. He's experiencing constant conflict, constant struggle, constant opposition and disagreement. And the angel of the Lord is saying, take off your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy. God is using the conflict and the disagreement for the sake of holiness. Dios está usando el conflicto para la santidad. Now, instead of attacking or accusing or getting into the courtroom drama, may we, like Joshua, fall face down in reverence, knowing that in this place, in this tension, in this conflict, in this disagreement, this is holy ground. God is doing something in us and through us in the conflict, in the confusion. So back to Acts chapter 15 and the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. I have a question for us. Who was right? Who's team Paul here? Who thinks Paul was right? Who's team Barnabas here? Who thinks Barnabas was right? Now, what if we asked the angel of the Lord the same question as Joshua did? Are you for Barnabas or are you for Paul? I believe the angel of the Lord would reply, neither. Later on in his letters, Paul comes to realize that there was wrongness to his own rightness and that there was rightness to Barnabas' wrongness. Barnabas was able to see something in this young boy, in this young man by the name of John Mark. He saw something in Mark that Paul was unable to see. And even though Paul did not fully understand the perspective of Barnabas, Paul chose to let it go, trusting that God would use it for a greater purpose. Let it go. God would use that tension in a way that Paul could not understand. Sometimes we have to let go, even if we don't fully understand, and trust that God is going to use that for a greater purpose than we can see. Dios va a usar todo para sus propósitos. And you know what? I am so grateful that Paul was able to let it go. Because even though he didn't understand, he entrusted it to God. Paul let go and he trusted that God would work through this, even though he didn't understand it. And you know what? God did work through it. God did work through the choice of Barnabas. God did work through the choice of Paul. Remember, Barnabas was Paul's partner in the gospel. Sometimes it can be easy to think that Barnabas was just a sidekick, or that Silas was just a sidekick, but Paul was really the superstar. Barnabas was Paul's partner in the gospel. Barnabas was able to see something that Paul himself could not see. A lot of us know, well, some of us know here, that the other part of the Bible, the later part of the Bible after Jesus, is called the New Testament. And Paul, this same Paul here, he wrote most of the New Testament. But after this passage, we don't hear too much about Barnabas after this. But we do see the fruit of the wisdom of Barnabas. This young boy or young man that Barnabas mentored by the name of Mark was then introduced, I believe, by Barnabas to another person by the name of Peter. Yes, that Peter, the Apostle Peter. Peter then discipled and mentored this young man by the name of Mark, and it was from that relationship that we get the Gospel of Mark, the earliest biography of the life of Jesus. Let's think about that for a moment. Without Barnabas, there is no Gospel of Mark. Without the Gospel of Mark, there is no Gospel of Matthew, Luke, or John, because all three of those Gospels came afterwards and used the Gospel of Mark as a primary resource. That's why Mark is called the earliest and simplest Gospel. So to put this very simply for us, no Barnabas, no Gospels. No Gospels, then we have no account of the life of Jesus. Barnabas represents the millions of people of faith, men and women who never reach celebrity status, but who quietly and faithfully seek the Lord. Those are the giants on whose shoulders we stand on. We don't stand on the shoulders of the famous ones and the recognized ones. The lights, the fame, the glitz, the glamour, all of that comes and goes. But quietly and faithfully serving the Lord has eternal fruit and consequence. Paul himself, later on in his life, even recognized at the end of his life as an older man, in one of his letters, he recognizes the gift that Mark became. He says this in 2 Timothy 4:11, which is one of his last letters, probably his last one. He says this, "Only Luke is with me right now, but please get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." At the time they had the disagreement, Paul didn't understand everything. Paul didn't understand why Barnabas saw this a different way. And friends, that reminds us that we don't have to understand everything. We just have to trust that God is at work in a way that is so much bigger than just my understanding. Yesterday, I got to spend the morning having coffee with a friend of mine. He's an agnostic, and we were just talking about God, and one phrase he kept bringing up was, but Carlos, I just don't understand. I don't understand this or that, to which I responded, but what if the next right step for you is not understanding, but trusting God? What if before understanding, we need to accept, then trust, and then the understanding comes? As local missionaries, we're called to shepherd the conflict. So what does that mean? That means that when we get into conflict and disagreement, we're called to shepherd it. We're called to lead. To lead ourselves. Remember that we cannot control other people. I can't control anyone else, but in a conflict, I can display self-leadership. I can control myself. I can decide how I'm going to respond to those that God has entrusted me to love and serve. The highest calling that we have as local missionaries, as disciples of Jesus, is to glorify God and to point to God, even in the disagreement. Even in the things that are hard to understand, we point to a bigger story.
Como el pueblo de Dios, vemos una historia más grande, una historia eterna.
There is a bigger story. There is a bigger vision. There is a kingdom of God that we're invited to be a part of, and that is a kingdom that is bigger than you or me. That is a kingdom that God will work through in amazing ways. But let's be clear about this. If you and I want to participate in the kingdom of God, then we must walk through conflict. The cross is God dealing with conflict. God was not passive. He dealt with it. He walked through it. So as we conclude here, we've looked at the Bible a bit, but as your pastor, I want to share with you a couple of practical tips and application for walking through conflict. Yes, we understand that as people of God, we must walk through conflict, but let's be clear about this. We cannot let conflict distract us from mission or from purpose. We must stay clear on the mission that God has for us. Our mission is to worship Him in spirit and in truth and to bless those that are around us. We need to keep first things first and second things second and keep the main thing the main thing. Yes, conflict is a part of mission, but conflict is not the point of mission. You know, I'm going to share a secret with you, but as a pastor, I have to navigate a lot of conflict. I get to see the best and the worst in people. And I've had to create a boundary because there's always going to be something. So I will only engage one conflict a week. That's plenty for me. God has called me to bigger things, to greater things. Understanding that conflict is a part of it, but that's not the point. That's not what's going to burn my time, my energy, my love, my resource, my gifts. As local missionaries, we need to have a boundary with conflict. Otherwise, it will consume us. Because there's always going to be something to complain about. There's always going to be something to be mad about. There's always going to be something to defend. That's why Jesus had to come. And he's going to restore it all. So that's my first suggestion. A boundary with conflict. And my second suggestion is this. As we go through life, we're going to meet people that are EGRs. Extra grace required. Or difficult people. We may be a difficult person to someone. We may be an EGR to someone. And in our... But those are EGRs, difficult people. But there's a difference between a difficult person and what the book of Proverbs calls the quarrelsome person. Churches and workplaces and families can have a certain kind of quarrelsome person in them. The person who loves to just pick a fight for whatever reason. The person that likes to stick it to you and pick a fight for no other reason other than the fact that you are a man or woman of God and they simply enjoy conflict. They enjoy pushing buttons. They feel little control in their life, so they like that sense of false control by pushing your buttons. My counsel and advice as your pastor when dealing with the quarrelsome person that the book of Proverbs talks about is this. Do not play their game. You are never going to satisfy the quarreler. The opposite will happen. The quarrelsome person will drain your energy and exhaust your soul. My suggestion is this, and I've learned from experience. When dealing with a quarrelsome person, designate a time. It doesn't have to be all day, it doesn't have to be an hour, it can be 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Designate a time to listen, to share your perspective, and if it's safe, pray with them. If it's not safe, pray for them, and then entrust them over to the hands of God. You can even imagine what that would look like. You can add in your prayer that image of entrusting this person over to the hands of God. We'll finish with this. Among all of this talk about disagreement and conflict, there is good news. In Jesus' timing, anything that is broken can be healed. In God's perfect timing, all conflict will be resolved.
En el tiempo de Dios, todo conflicto y desacuerdo será restaurado.
When dealing with people, and that's what we're doing, friends, we deal with people, God's most precious creation, people created in the image of God. When we deal with people, we deal with conflict. The conflict is a given. The disagreement, that's a given. But the question is not if we go through it, but the question is how we lead through it, how we shepherd it. One of my favorite writers by the name of Henry Nouwen, he wrote this book called Bread for the Journey. It's a book I read a portion of every morning when I arrive to my office. But he has this section called Spiritual Choices. And he says this, Henry Nouwen says, choices make a difference. In conflict and disagreement, two people are in the same conflict and are both emotionally wounded.
They did not choose to be in the conflict, but like a car accident, it just happened to them. However, one of them chose to live the experience in bitterness. The other chose to live the experience in gratitude. These choices radically influenced their lives and the lives of their families and the lives of their friends. We have very little control over what happens in our lives, but we have a lot of control over how we remember and respond to what happens. We are created in the image of God, and we have purpose in the image of Christ. And it's God who is our model on how to respond to conflict. And how exactly does God respond to conflict? He responds through the cross. He responds through grace. He responds in this way that we see in the scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, we see exactly how God responds to conflict. He says this. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, we can put it up. Luke, put it up. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. It says this, how God responds to conflict. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities. I will be merciful toward their wickedness. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. That's how God responds to conflict. Through conflict and disagreement, God is merciful. God chooses to remember no more. As the old hymn says, our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. And yes, our conflicts and our disagreements are many, but His mercy is more. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Te damos gracias, Dios Santo. Because you are doing a work in ways that are seen and unseen. Estás haciendo algo, Señor, misterioso en nuestras vidas. And Lord, your faithfulness is great. Your faithfulness is unlike anything that we've experienced. We've never heard of a grace like this, where you choose to forget, where you choose to forgive, where you choose to walk toward us even in our brokenness, Lord, and you're never afraid of it. Thank you, God. Thank you for being our model. Thank you that we don't have to just depend on ourselves or depend on others, but we get to depend on you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to shape us and mold us to be more and more like you. As we go out from here, as local missionaries, as people committed to bless those around us, God, that are strengthened by you, help us to love and serve our neighbors. Build us up, Lord, in order to send us out. Make us new. Make us more like you. God, right now we're aware that some of us are even in this space right now, still holding on to some bitterness or some conflict or some disagreement. And right now, Lord, this morning, we entrust it to you. We give it to you, Lord, knowing that your ways are not our ways. And that even though we don't understand, Lord, it's okay because there's a bigger vision, there's a bigger story that is happening, and you're able to use even what was intended for evil. You can use it for good, Lord. And so, God, right now, this morning, we give that over to you. Whatever weight we may be carrying this morning, we give it to you, and we pray that you would take it for us, Lord. Give us courage, give us wisdom, give us humility, and give us love, Lord. The love of Christ, who took the cross because he loved us so much, Lord. He forgave our iniquities. He forgave our sin and chooses to forget. And Lord, we bless you. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.